Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Mike Robb of NFL Network, Super Bowl champion of the Seattle Seahawks. You're listening to The Ship with Darren Smith on Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City.
Shout out to Blake. Can't ever go wrong when you come off a commercial with this type of bumping music. Darren Smith with you, the host of The Ship with Darren Smith here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, 810WHB.com, and of course the station mobile app. With us as always, Michael Coleman joining us, and also joining us, I believe, I want to say she's from the DMV. This 1340 AM Fox Sports station is just everywhere over there. But Mike, this is Ashley Baker. She is the host of AMB Sports Podcast and Sports After Dark on the Twitter Spaces, which I, look, let me tell you something, Mike. If you ever get a chance, you know, after NFL or NBA games, and you want to get some good content that is unfiltered, where our guy Mark Gunnels is a co-host on, you got to tune in. You got to send her a friend request or follow or something, because, man, you might not get a word in, but it is some great content. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
I'll do that.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
Doing well. I mean, not as good as you. I mean, somebody was all glammed up at the NBA draft this week. How was that?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. That was my first one. So it was quite a tearjerker in some moments and super emotional to see those guys, you know, finally see their dreams come true. And it was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
It's interesting because you've won up me on that, because I haven't done a draft yet, but, you know, we're going to have an NBA team. So once we get that, maybe I'll be able to do that. But we both got a chance to cover our first NFL draft back in April, which was our first time, you know, coming across each other, meeting each other. So I know you've had a chance to, you know, I believe do the Super Bowl, do the NBA draft as well as the NFL draft. Talk about this whirlwind year for you so far.
Oh, absolutely. Literally at the start of the year, I actually battled COVID at the later part of the year. So coming into 2022, I was kind of just getting my bearings back together. And everything just happened really fast. I literally wasn't expecting to do the Super Bowl until about a week and a half or 2 weeks before. And same thing as the draft, both drafts. Actually, I didn't even get the okay for the NBA draft until 4 days prior. So it's been a blessing, honestly, at doing exactly what I love. And it doesn't feel like work, you know. It feels like that for you, like you're just doing what you love. So it doesn't feel like work. I absolutely love it. It's been a surprise year.
You know, I tell people all the time, and people, you know, It's hard to put into words, because, again, if you love what you do, you're never working a day in your life. And I tell people, man, for me personally, be able to cover the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting Kansas City, KU, football and basketball. Trust me, it is a chore watching KU football, but, you know, I still enjoy it because it allows me to just go out and do what I love. But I tell people, I don't consider it work. I mean, and that's, you know, even when I'm traveling on the road, going to, you know, the NFL draft or radio row, and I'm working from sun up. Mike knows I work from sun up to sundown when it comes to the radio row during the Super Bowl week. But I love it. It's like there's nothing more I enjoy doing. I mean, I love talking sports. I love talking to people in sports. I love talking to, you know, doing these interviews. I love doing, whether it's the live stream or pregame shows or postgame stuff, when it comes to, I just love it all. And I tell people, I said, man, I'm living the dream. You know, it might cost me an arm and a leg from time to time, but there's nothing else I would rather be doing. I mean, you know, working 9 to 5, you know, I'm not coming on anybody, because it is what it is. But, man, I love this field, and I tell people, I take the responsibility of what I do serious, because it's like, they could easily just deny us credentials. They could deny us access.
Correct.
But they think enough of our work and what we do to credential us and to allow us to do what we do. To where, you know, I tell people all the time, I love the players. I love what I do, but I cannot be a fan. You know, when I do this, because again, when I have to criticize or come at a negative point of view, I don't want people to think, I'm some particular fan, so to speak. But it's also like, well, I got to come from an area of credibility, because, you know, if I'm going to praise you while you have, if you're not playing well or you're doing something wrong, I got to be able to call you on it. And I got to be able to call it from a position of strength. And so, look, just like you, I know this has been one of those years where, I covered the Final Four in 2018 when Kansas got mopped off the floor before the first time out. This year, Kansas, you know, wins a national title. So, you know, I was talking about earlier where, I was looking for Kansas City to go to 3 straight Super Bowls, and I get two steak dinners from an NFL reporter. It didn't work out that way. So trust me, being in L.A. with Cincinnati of all teams in L.A. Right. was not exactly on my wish list, but it happens.
I wasn't expecting it either. That's something that Mark and I talked about, you know, Mark Gunnels. And, the ending of that Chiefs-Bengals game, I mean, it had my mouth on the floor, because there was no way you were going to tell me in any world that the Bengals were going to come up with that win. Like, I literally, I couldn't believe it. And, you know, we were expecting, you know, Rams Chiefs for the Super Bowl. But it is what it is. Like you said, it doesn't matter. You know, it's still something that you love to do, kind of regardless of who's there. Obviously, we would like to see our home team there, right? But, you know, it's still just, it's an amazing, I would hope that everyone is so lucky to, like, find their passion in life and find the thing that makes them happy and find the thing that makes them feel like it's not work. You know, you're much happier when it feels like you're just living life and you happen to be getting paid for it. You know?
Mike, go ahead.
Well, Ms. Baker, first of all, my pleasure to hear what you have to say. And I just went ahead and said I'm following her right now off of Darren's recommendation, just period. when you the adrenaline flow, let's talk about adrenaline. Do you get that flow? Did you get that flow at the NBA draft? Because the players, obviously, they got that adrenaline going, and I imagine you did too.
Oh, absolutely. So I've never been to the Barclays Center, so it was quite a bit of adrenaline just kind of, first of all, finding my way around as media. But again, seeing those guys just reach their dream, I will say – okay, so there were a couple of, like I said, tear-jerking moments in the draft. But one of the things, like when the Knicks took their pick, like the boos hit a lot different in person. oh, my gosh. I felt really bad. And, you know, obviously I think a lot of teams have these conversations with these guys. Like, look, we're picking you. You might expect some booze to rain down, but, you know, you're built for it or everything like that. But that was a little different for me. I was like, oh no, you know, he's reached his dream and you guys are booing. It was bad. That was a bad experience for me. I'm like a mom. I'm a mom. I have 2 kids. So, you know, just hearing that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit for their pick that they drafted. But yeah, man, the adrenaline was crazy. I was excited to see everybody there, certain sports personalities, folks in my media circle. I was ecstatic to see them. And, the NFL, I will say this, Darren, the NBA draft, as far as the media access.
I was just about to go there. I was about to ask you that.
Yeah. It's way more personable. I can't even explain it. We were walking through the hallways, and Chet Holmgren was walking walking next to me in the hallways, and I ran into, P5 in the hallways. Like, it's just it's a bit different. The experience is a bit different with the NBA in a great way.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
That the NFL can adapt a little to them. No, you're good.
No, I was gonna ask you, because I know, like I said, we were in Vegas together, but I was going to ask. as it relates to access, but also just the atmosphere, because, you know, where they had us at, they had us back in, you know, in the cloakroom, so to speak, and it was like, we had to, like, literally go out, you know, we had to walk a long distance just to be in the player area where they were walking around to get to the media room to talk to us, and then even then they were, you know, I mean, unless we were, man, I mean, it was hard to even try to pull the players away to try to get a question in, let alone say hello to them, versus how was it at the Barclays? Because I've been there once for a championship fight with Deontay Wilder, so I know what you mean when it's hard, you know, when it's hard to navigate in that building, because it is hard to get around in there.
Yeah, definitely hard to get around. Outside of that part, though, like, if you're familiar with the building, it's not a bad thing. But outside of that part, though, no, it really – so, I mean, we're inside of the arena. Like, first of all, we're out there watching the draft. And that's kind of what I expected with the NFL. This was our first one, like you mentioned. And I was expecting us to kind of be out there with the crowd and to get that reaction and be able to, you know, react with the crowd. And I don't know, was it because of COVID out in Vegas? Is that why maybe we didn't? I don't know how media is usually seated with the NFL draft or where they usually go. But, you know, we were amongst the fans in real time, able to see when folks walked across that stage and shook Adam Silver's hand. And then, you know, once the player is drafted, you got like 30 minutes before they even go into interviews. So you got time to get from where you are, depending on the market you're in, to get to your guy. You know, they have individual stations where, for instance, the Wizards' 10th pick was, you know, Johnny Davis. And he comes in 30 minutes after he's called, and then the Washington media gets first crack at him because that's the team he's with. Yeah. And then he comes in and interviews with your SiriusXM and your Yahoo Sports and stuff like that in a completely different room. So the setup was amazing. I feel like the setup was much more media-friendly than the NFL.
Well, obviously, I expect you here in Kansas City next year when the NFL draft comes here. So hopefully, it'll be better than what it was in Las Vegas. Not that it wasn't good. It was just it, again, being at the convention center just feels like everything's so far away because it's so damn huge. And of course, Vegas has so many convention halls because of all the massive hotels that they have. So we're joined by Ashley Baker. She is a reporter for Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM out of the DMV. Let's switch gears right quick to the, we'll stay with the NBA. Your thoughts on this past NBA season that was concluded, including the NBA finals?
Heck of a season. Absolutely. So obviously I'm based out of the DMV. I enjoy little moments where, you know, the Wizards were 10-3 and they were sending a number one seed. You know, I enjoyed that for 24 hours, if it was that long, okay? I expect to see better things from the Wizards with Wes Unseld in his second year as coach. And, you know, we'll see what Bradley Beal does and, you know, the pieces that they add and, you know, move around and things like that. So that was quite a roller coaster this year with the Wizards. But I was super high on the Grizzlies, like, all season. Like, I'm a Ja Morant girl. I like Ja Morant. And that's a team that I kept my eye on very closely throughout the season. So it was exciting to see what they did. Can you hear me well?
Oh yeah, we hear you very well.
Okay. I mentioned back in October, okay, this is a great Golden State team. This was before Klay came back. But do you really think that they'll be able to win it all? And then Klay came back and it was still kinda up and down, and man, for them to be champions again, it was not surreal, but it was just really one of those, like, prove you wrong moments. Like, I was one of those people that they proved wrong, because I thought that it would be the Suns or the Bucks, or as great as Boston played, you know, at the end of the season, you know, the second half of the season, I thought maybe they would find a way. They had been trying to get there, and then they finally do. Or even Miami, you know, we didn't know what Miami was going to be. So all in all, I feel like it was a really, really great season. 75 years, we got the 75 list. You know, we had debates and conversations on that throughout the season. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a really, really good season.
Mike, like I said, she, our guy Mark Gunnels, close with her, whether it's 50 years or 75 years, for whatever reason, Mark is still going to side with LeBron James when it's all said and done. I'm like, brother, I need you. There's a thing called YouTube. I don't care how you know, you think you know NBA. You don't know NBA until you've seen 80s and early 90s basketball and the greatness that Michael Jordan was doing. But, Mike, I'll let you jump in before I ask a question about this offseason.
Well, to your point just now, have y'all seen that commercial with Spike Lee and the young lady on the old school, new school? It's by Nike. It's a brilliant commercial, and it speaks to what you're talking about in terms of old school and new school. And, you know, in most of my life, most of my career, it's been the Bulls, it's been the Lakers, it's been the Celtics. But, Ms. Baker, I think you make a good point about John Morant, because I think the Grizzlies, they're going to be very special. They're already special, but I think they're going to be in position to make some things happen. And I think that fan base for them, I mean, Memphis loves their basketball. And I just think this is a case where that young superstar is going to be the one that can carry them. He's going to get some support, of course. I guess my question to you is, how do you think this team will be over the next 5 years, 3 to 5 years?
Memphis is one or two veterans away. I've always, for the entire season, once they started really, really rolling, I compared them to those 2013, 2014 Warriors. Those Warriors that were just having great seasons but couldn't get over the humps.
Right.
And they were getting knocked out of, like, the semi-conference finals, right, you know, before the, you know, just those. And I think Golden State, I don't know if you guys have seen, like, the back and forth between Ja Morant and the Warriors.
Oh, yeah, some of their
players. It's been crazy. I think that Golden State realizes that they're looking themselves in the mirror. I really think that Memphis got next. Now, again, thank God you said for the next 5 seasons, because if certain trades go down and certain folks from said organization, the Nets, head over west, that's not happening this season for the Grizzlies. But they're like a vet or two away. Like, I feel like for them, like a Al Morant would have, Al Morant, I call him Al Morant because I feel like he is such a dunker sometimes. Al Horford, that was my nickname for him throughout the playoffs, guys. Al Horford, I feel like, would have been like a really great piece for them. A veteran that can stop the bleeding whenever they go on these droughts and the other teams go on these runs. Like, I feel like that's kind of what happened in that Golden State series. And even that happens throughout their playoff run. Even with Ja Morant on the court, they would get in these, like, dry spells of not scoring the ball. And I feel like you kind of need a veteran presence there. Steven Adams is not a veteran presence enough for the Grizzlies. So they're like a piece or two away. I hate that Andre Iguodala didn't go there. I mean, he doesn't hate it. He just got a ring. But I really, really hated that Andre didn't take a chance with Memphis, because that's the veteran piece that I'm talking about. Like, I think he would have made a huge difference for them had he stayed with the squad. I expect them to be coming. Ja Morant is coming. I've been high on Ja since the draft. I thought he was going to go number one, and then it was Zion, and I knew he was going to win Rookie of the Year. I called that, and to be honest, I feel like he has more upside than Zion does. That's just my personal opinion. I think when it's all said and done, he'll have a better career. Just my personal opinion here. But, yeah, I expect really good things from Memphis. They're a young team, man, and they're hungry, and they're not afraid to show it.
I mean, it's not too many times you go from Rookie of the Year to Most Improved Player. It's like, you're the number two draft pick in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get Most Improved? But, you know, but look, one of the points that you make.
This voting is crazy.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, one of the good points that you made, though, is about Ja Morant being in Memphis. Mike and I, we talked about it a little bit on Friday, is that the NBA has made it where it's at a disadvantage for the draft picks to, you know, try to get a max deal away from the team that drafted you. Because, again, I think like Zion, well, his case is going to be different just because of his injuries, whatever. But if you look at Ja Morant, you know, when they go to do an extension for him, he would have, I mean, he'll be able to make, I think, 65 to 75 million more by staying in Memphis versus trying to test a free agent market or whatever. And that's, you know, that's a good thing that Adam Silver did when it relates to the CBA, is because you want to keep those draft picks, those superstars, you know, they're locally where they're drafted. So I mean, just so you don't have a situation where you have a Kevin Durant going to Golden State where it tips the balance of power, so to speak, where nobody really has a chance to win because you've got that type of balance going to just one team versus the other 31.
No, I agree with that. And I feel like this past year, the ups and downs, it was, you just really wasn't sure of who would be at the finals. You wasn't really sure of who would win. I mean, I called Golden State in six, but ultimately I was still up and down because I saw some good things from Boston throughout that series. So, you know, those Kevin Durant days, it was automatic. The moment he went to Golden State, we knew that however long he was there, we were going to see them in the finals every year. And that's just not good for the game. I mean, we saw, 4 years of the Warriors and the Cavs. You know what I mean? Like I'm embracing the different champions and the league is just so good. You're just not sure who's going to be there. That's the type of stuff that I love and I'm embracing. So that speaks to, you know, what you were saying as far as you know, the money, how the money ties into all of that.
Ashley, now I want to ask you, because I know you made a vague reference to the, you know, the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I'm going to answer your question here, but
sure.
I don't care if for some reason, which one, I don't think it happens, but if Kevin Durant was to end up in Portland, that's not going to do anything as it relates to them winning a world title. I still don't think they get out of the second round, let alone get to the conference finals, even with Kevin Durant there. They don't have enough players around them, and they don't have enough players on defense that would help them do that. And that, you know, try to – I not that you haven't, but if people think that that's comparable to when he went to Golden State, it is not. But I just, so you know, it would be good. It would be good for the, you know, for the NBA, because it's just two superstars, not three or four. And but no, I can't see that trade happening. Nor, I mean, if anything, Dame needs to leave. I mean, versus Kevin Durant going there. And look, looking at that situation, how do you think that's going to focus? I'm not a big fan of Kyrie Irving. To me, I think a lot of media members on television kind of make excuses for him, like, oh, well, he's box office. No, he's not. I mean, yes, he can play the game well, but I'm not paying that dude $50 million for one season, let alone, you know, $250 for five. That's just me. I couldn't do it.
He's super, you know, he's super spectacular, and this is actually a conversation that we've been having in my Sports After Dark Twitter spaces that you mentioned. Make sure you guys tap into those. They are amazing. Darren, I know you said you might not get a word in. That night was an anomaly night, so I want to apologize for that night. But, you know.
Because you know I'm going to join you, especially when it's NFL season. Trust and believe, I'm going to be on there. So you got to make sure you give me a minute or two on there to talk when that happens.
Of course. But one of the discussions we've been having in there is if Kyrie is like a top 10 talent. And I don't think we would have had, this wouldn't have been a question maybe two or three seasons ago. He absolutely is a top 10 talent.
But he's a top one headache, though.
Correct. And the reason why that talent part is being overshadowed is because, A, we're not even seeing you on the court because of your personal reasons. Like you said, no one should pay him for a possibility. You may play 30 or 40 games in a season. You may play. That's this is a business at the end of the day. And your best ability is availability, as we all know. But that's just it just shows how your absence can shift like conversations or optics of how you are as a player. And it's crazy because he is a spectacular player. He really is. Super talented, super skilled.
Ashley, I think
we did that because we only saw him play for 20 games.
Yeah, but Ashley, I think part of the frustration is that, you know, when I tune in, I hear First Take and see the, you know, 65 cent, bro, it's an 82 game season. Like, I'm like, yeah. can we not forget that even Michael Jordan, he was 38, 39, 40, played 82 games for the Wizards. Like, bro, I mean, you know, quit making it seem like, you know, we should be paying guys to take 10, 12, 15, 17 games off. Like, you know, look, if you get injured, that's one thing. But if you 100%, man, all this low management stuff, nah, man, because, again, you know, Michael Jordan lived by the adage that somebody may come out and watch him play for the first time. So he was always trying to make sure that if he wasn't injured, he was out there on the court. And so I just, man, and again, dealing with Kyrie, again, now, I don't know, some of this could be where you're paying these players so much money that they feel like that they don't have to do certain things. But, again, you had a good situation when you were in Cleveland. But again, man, you know, your ego and your jealousy because of what LeBron was getting, you wanted that same, like, bro, you trying to put yourself on a level that you're not on. And so you demand a trade because otherwise, you know, you claim you're going to get surgery and be out for the year. So they trade you to Boston, you go to Boston, and then you can't even get along with, you know, when you're in Boston. And then all of that, hell, you come up injured and you don't even play in the Eastern Conference Finals where they get to a game seven without you. You know what I'm saying? And so, and then you go, then you end up in Brooklyn, and then you're taking time off. You know, you talk about the January 6th stuff, and then, you know, you need 2 weeks off, and then they come to find out that you are celebrating your sister's birthday or something. Like, bro, so for me, he's just too much of a drama, too much of a headache. You didn't want to get the vaccination at the time. Look, your choice, it is what it is. But everybody else on the Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets said, this is what we're going to do as a team. You decide to go your own direction. That alone lets me know that, bro, I can do bad by myself, or I can do bad without you. And so, for me, I wouldn't, if he opts in, hey, that it is what it is, because that's what the contract or what the CBA allows him to do. But if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'd be damned if I offer him a bigger contract for 1 year or even a contract extension, because you can't trust him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, let's just put it in perspective here. Can you miss that many days from your radio station without them saying anything? Can you be that absent
without them? No, depending on how vocal I am, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, they hear me say Black Lives Matter, they start to run. So who knows? Yeah, never know.
Let me interject. I think what happens is a lot of these cats play the AAU ball, and they get their way, and it's always going to be their way because that coach wants to be by their side and ride that hip in the event they go to the NBA. And no one is around him to tell him no, or maybe he wanted to rethink this situation, man. I mean, at first, you know, he got notoriety for being eccentric, as I will call it, for saying that the world is flat. You know, he got a lot of conversation on that, you know.
Yep.
And it's just been one thing after another, and it's led up to what it is now. And you wondered how the Nets were going to survive with him playing or working part-time, if you will. And it just kind of seemed like everything is going his way, the way he wants to do it, because no one's around him to tell him no. And there are a lot of athletes that are like that, but no one stands out more in that department than Kyrie Irving.
You know, I'm not sure why Kyrie is so polarizing. And I think a lot of it is just a testament to his greatness, or what we expect from him because he's such a great talent when he plays. That's just ridiculous. You got to add that at the end of his. Whenever we're talking about Kyrie, you always got to add that asterisk in there, when he plays or when he is on the court. He always has something to say, man, and it's a field day for the media. It really is. Like, he's really a sports media dream. Like, there's always something coming from the Kyrie Irving camp. We can always have some content. We'll always have think pieces. We'll always have something to talk about when it comes to Kyrie Irving.
Blake, I know you wanted to jump in and add your...
Yeah, I think Kyrie is actually a pretty smart guy, and
he thinks he's smart now. I mean,
I think he's smart in the sense that I think half the time he knows what he's doing, and he knows how the media views him and how they're going to report on him. So sometimes, like going back to what Michael said about the whole
Kyrie thinks he's the smartest person in the room.
Now that can be said for a lot of people who think they're the smartest person in the room. Doesn't mean you are. But I think he does understand how the media views him. Now, that doesn't always mean that that's exactly how he's playing the media, because he said some things before where you're like, that came out of left field. And he's done some things before where you're like, Kyrie, that just, it's kind of a head scratcher, doesn't make sense. But certain times, I will say, I think he's you know, what the kids call today trolling people. He's trolling the media because he knows exactly how they're going to report
credit,
on
them. You're giving them too much credit. Because,
I said
it because Kyrie has said that the media, I mean, that he looks down on folk and that he looks down on the media and that they are quote unquote peons. And, you know, let's not forget, it's the media, along with his own skills, put him in a position where he's at. You know what I'm saying? And so, when you like Kevin Durant, where they vote for you for the MVP, and then the next year, the All-Star game, you say that the media don't know jack squat. You know, you kind of pooping where you lie. And so
I get it.
It's not a good thing. And look, man, he has had some stuff to where, man, I wanted to do physical harm to him. Like, bro, are you serious? Like, what is wrong with you, man? Like, you know, again, you. It'd be one thing if you say, you know, the earth is flat and you ain't never been nowhere outside of your city or something, you know, to where you've never been on an airplane. But to just go against simple facts is just stuff that I
but
can't.
But that's the
I
troll part. That's the whole point. You understand what you're saying
serious,
is absurd.
Ignorant.
But you know that people are also going to think it's absurd in the way they react to it. Again, it's not everything he says, but I do believe there's certain situations where he puts himself in. He knows exactly how the media is going to respond, but he chooses to do it anyway because, one, it's headlines, two, it is polarizing.
I don't know, man. He didn't, you know, he's standing up for the little people, but he's still getting paid $17 million while folk out of work, because he sure didn't have no stimmy for those people in New York that was out of work during that time. He wasn't providing them no money, but he was standing up and he was representing them. But be that as it may, Ashley, we're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back. We're going to switch topics to the NFL because I definitely got to hear your thoughts on this upcoming season. Keep it locked into the ship with Darren Smith right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What's up, guys? This is Colleen Wolf of NFL Network, and you're listening to The Ship with Darren Smith on Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City.
This is Jimbo Cota, the Chicago Bears and Pro Football Hall of Famer, and you're listening to The Ship with Darren Smith on Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to The Ship with Darren Smith here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up later on in 1 o'clock, now not on this radio, but of course you can watch them on television. Kansas City Royals taking on the Oakland Athletics. And then I think beginning tomorrow, the Royals will be hosting the Texas Rangers. So I'll be out there on Tuesday watching the Royals play. So good luck to them this week in this afternoon's game. And I got to tell you, Mike, again, I still go back a couple weeks ago. Royals have been doing pretty good when it comes to bets that I play. So I'm going to keep leaning that direction from time to time. But we are still joined with Ashley Baker. She is a reporter for Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM out of the DMV. And Ashley, we were talking to Jeff Chedia in the first segment of the show in the last hour. We were talking about Deshaun Watson, but we were also mentioning, you know, your Washington Commanders. I know you cover them out there. And I'm just curious your thoughts on them being a focal point up at the congressional hearings this week. And, Ron Rivera, one of the things that came out, well, that happened before that was him fining Jack Del Rio $100,000 for a tweet or comments that he made. And so just want to know how they're holding up out there.
You know, it's just never ending with the Commanders these past couple of seasons. It's a circus. If I have to be honest, there is a circus. And I am waiting on the Danny Snyder stepping down from his responsibilities notification. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm waiting on it. This is, I caught Roger Goodell testifying. And one of the questions was, at the time of receiving the information that he received, had you seen a workplace so toxic in your experience up until that point? And, you know, he said, at that point, I had never witnessed or I had never been aware of such toxicness in an organization before, with, like, during his entire tenure as commissioner. Like, that is horrible. Right here in the nation's capital, I mean, power nation or power spot of the world. You know what I mean? In the nation's capital, and all of that is happening, man. It's a circus, man. It's ongoing. It seems like there's something every week with the Washington Commanders. I'm at a loss of words, honestly, and like my mouth is always to the floor every report that comes out. every single report. I mean, it's nonstop. I can't keep up. Listen, the Washington media is definitely having a field day, for sure. They have plenty of content. There's always something to talk about.
Now, and of course, he was overseas, and I know the chair of that committee talked about subpoenaing Snyder, you know, compelling him to appear. So I'm not sure that's going to happen this week, if he's going to show up this week when that's going to take place. But that's definitely going to be newsworthy as well. I actually streamed the entire deal that the commissioner was on my page. So, you know, I was like, well, people, you know, everybody don't have C-SPAN, which is funny. I realized when I was looking at my YouTube TV, I didn't have it on mine. So I was actually fortunate to be able to stream it online and stream it across my page for people to check and see. But also looking at the NFL, you know, we were talking about Deshaun Watson, and from a woman's point of view, from a reporter's point of view, you know, wanted to get your thoughts on the fact that the NFL and this stuff is supposed to take place on Tuesday, I believe, that Deshaun Watson and his, whether or not he's going to get suspended or whatever, that's going to take place, or at least his disciplinary hearing is due to start on Tuesday. So I want to know how you felt that this was going to unfold.
Well, I don't really have any real feelings towards how it's going to unfold, to be honest with you, Darren. My only request is that the NFL is consistent in their doing. This is the example that I bring up quite often. You know, I'm a Dallas Cowboys girl. Sorry for the folks listening. Yep, I am. and Ezekiel Elliott, simply because of misconduct and having his name in conversations and situations that it shouldn't have been in, despite the fact that he was never criminally or civilly charged on anything, still received 6 games. And he wasn't even found guilty of anything when he was suspended for those 6 games in, like, his second year, I think. So I'm just looking for the consistency here, man. My initial to everything, I thought that he would at least get 6 to 8 games, at least. And then I see that they're, you know, the NFL PA is seeking for him not to even get a suspension at all. And I know the NFL is super big on, simply if you're involved in something that is simply shedding a bad light on the shield, you're going to be disciplined for that, which is exactly what happened with Ezekiel Elliott. He was involved in something that was simply shedding a bad light on his employer, and they disciplined him for that. So I definitely believe that Deshaun Watson should receive some sort of discipline. You have to keep it consistent. That whole thing has been nuts. I know that, I think I read something where, you know, some folks were seeking like a year. I think that's a bit excessive, the year part, but he definitely should face some type of disciplinary action for sure.
I will say this, and this is where I have said, and Mike can, of course, attest to it, is that for me, you know, I don't mind him being suspended, but to be suspended for more than 6 to 8 games to me is excessive. Now, I've also said that Calvin Ridley shouldn't have been suspended for a year for his parlay bet. Trust me, you're talking to somebody who bets on damn near everything. And so I've always been consistent, but also to the fact that when you look at the situation that he finds himself in, is that, again, what the NFL Players Association, they are legally bound by federal law to defend them, and they got they have the best lawyer for the PA to defend them. Because again, here's the thing: you talk about consistency. If he's to get suspended, it is not even for the civil lawsuits or for what he's accused of. It's because of him, and Mike knows this. I will go back to Ezekiel, because this is what I compare him to. It's putting himself in a situation, because to me, Ezekiel got suspended for the stupid tax because of what he did, I believe, and Mike heard me from, I believe it was the St. Patrick's Day, where he pulled that girl's top down, you know, and exposed her breast. Like, bro, you sitting there, you're going to be under investigation. You're under investigation for the NFL, and you go and do this where people are filming you and you sharing, you think it's funny. Like, and so it's like, you not understanding it. Now, for me, again, with Deshaun, his thing is putting himself in that situation to even begin with, where you're going through all these masseuses, blah, 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 blah. Now, to me, I think the Texans enabled it, but they'll probably walk out of it scot-free, except for the civil stuff. But, you know, for me, Deshaun putting himself in that position for me, gives him, you know, the personal conduct policy where he can get suspended. But again, to suspend it for more than six games or even eight games, I'm not for it. So if the NFLPA, with what they're going to defend in Deshaun Watson with as it relates to, well, according to the bylaws in the 2020 collective bargaining agreement, the owners are to be held to a higher standard. And you didn't live up to that with Robert Kraft when he was arrested, you know, for what he did down at the masseuse parlor. Obviously, yep. Jerry Jones and the voyeurism, and then of course the continued stuff that keeps dropping out of Washington, and now of course what's going on in Las Vegas with the Raiders and their, you know, in their situation. So, you know, to me, they have a huge leg to stand on, and it's going to obviously fall to the former U.S. District Court Judge that's going to be looking at this hearing. And it, to me, if she allows the Players Association to get access where she forces the NFL to turn over that information, that's where you're going to see the NFL start to, okay, well, can you do four games? Can we just get you, you know, something? Because, you know, because they're only not trying to do a year, but they're trying to do an indefinite suspension. And see, and that's what we'll, you know, they're just saying, well, you know, the NFL try to get an indefinite suspension to where it could last more than 1 year. And if I'm Deshaun Watson and the Players Association, yeah, people are like, well, why are you signing? Nah, I just want fairness. And see, and fair is different to what people are looking at. Because again, as I was, and I don't know if I said this on social media or with Jeff, but problem that I have is that you want to protect the owners. You're protecting these white owners, but you want to utilize and make examples out of these black players. I'm not for that, because that's exactly what it's boiling down to. So,
yeah, I can agree with what you said. I just, you know, as you were going down the list, though, Darren, of every organization that has something going on, legally, man, like, what is going on in the NFL? Like, they're tackling a whole lot of different things at one time. You got stuff going on in Houston, there's stuff in Washington. I just wish it was stick to football, man. Like, it's crazy. It's been crazy the last couple of seasons. Crazy now, it's been crazy the last couple of seasons. Just listening to you go down the list of everything that has happened, I'm like, wow, this is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I could go further too, but I'm just not.
I know.
Mike, go ahead.
That's even worse.
Well, you know, you talk about the hearings with the commissioner. He was doing his job. I mean, he works for those owners. He makes, what,
yep,
$40 million a year or something like that. And he doesn't even get a concussion like those who make that kind of money do. And so, and my whole thing is this. It's got to be fair across the board, all right? I mean, you've got the issues with the players, and you've got issues with the owners. Now, in the past, maybe there were issues with the owners, but we just didn't hear about it. But that's not the case anymore. We live in a whole different world today. And yep, I just think when it comes to the owners who hide behind Roger Goodell, they need to do some cleanup themselves before you ask the players to. I mean, just like you always have the rookies appear at the symposium, maybe a few owners should be sitting in that audience as well on how to conduct yourself as an NFL person. And I don't, they're going to be forever protected by the shield, and Goodell is the shield. As for the players, they're not so much. You know, so hopefully the union can step up and defend their ground when it comes to their players.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm in agreement with everybody right now, because for Roger Goodell, and I don't know if you guys saw him sitting in those hearings, they actually called on him at one point. He was so shocked that they were even speaking to him, he didn't know what to say. He's just like, I don't know if I should be answering any questions. Mm-hmm. I'm just here because I felt like I was obligated to be, which he is. But I also think at a time when you're looking at the two situations, you got the Deshaun Watson situation, which really – what it boils down to, with all the, you know, the courts have deemed there's not really any evidence of any crime being committed here. And then you look at what's going on in Washington, and you have not only claims and really some allegations and some proof of sexism, racism, and actual illegal actions of filming women. how can you look at these situations and demonize Deshaun Watson the way that the media has been? And yes, his situation is very odd. And then as Roger Goodell, being the commissioner, try to go to bat for Dan Snyder or try to maybe not necessarily go to bat for him, but look at this. Well, he's a billionaire, so we're going to look at it differently. There is more and more millionaires every year, and there's plenty of people that would love to get in and buy teams. Hell, look at Gary Vee. Gary Vee wants to buy a team. I bet he would. Now he wants to buy the Jets, of course. But get this. I mean, how can you even go to bat or try to protect this, and then look at Deshaun Watson and be like, we don't even know if you're ever going to play again because you still didn't even commit a crime.
Snyder still is boss and paying part of his salary.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the problem.
Ashley, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with him. That was a great point. Yeah, that was a great point. That's all I'm gonna say on that.
All right, well, going into training camp, where do you see the biggest challenges for your Washington Commanders?
Well, let me just clear up something really quick, Darren. They're not my Washington Commanders, okay?
Yeah, well, I can't say you're a Dallas Cowboys because that would be
– I just want to be clear to those listening and to all of us here, okay?
Yeah, we do got to go back to your sports after dark. Like, oh, what do you mean you're watching? So, my bad. I just thought about that.
excuse me, but – I think that Washington is going to be a lot more solid than what folks expect, and I'm interested in figuring out or seeing what's going to go on with Terry McLaurin. They got to pay that man, or he needs to walk, because I think he should have run and not waste any more prime years with the Washington Commanders, because he is a dog. Literally, like I have seen him torch my secondary plenty of times. I'm interested in seeing how that's going to shape out. That's going to kind of change the trajectory of the team if he does not stay. I think they'll pay him, but I'm interested in seeing how that's going to go. Let me ask you guys, because they haven't come to an agreement on his contract, can he sit out the training camp?
Who's that?
Like, Terry McLaurin.
Is he considered a free agent or no? If he's on the contract or if he's tagged, then I mean he'll need to show up, otherwise he'll get fined. If he's a free agent, then no.
I think maybe he has like one more year in his deal. I'm thinking he's looking to get paid now.
Yeah, so if he has one more year, then yeah, he's on the contract. Yeah, he'll have to show up, otherwise he'll get fined. And the way the CBA is that this time around. The team, I mean, they could if they wanted to, but they're not obligated to, like, rescind the fines, what have you.
He is under contract for this year.
Yeah, so he's on the contract. So, yeah, he would have to show up. Otherwise, he would get fined daily for missing camp, and they don't have to rescind those fines, which was put in there to, you know, keep players from skipping training camp and stuff like that. So,
exactly.
So Ashley, I guess I should ask, who are your two teams that you project early on to get to the Super Bowl next year?
Well, I got to stay consistent here, Darren. And this AFC contender is going to throw you guys off. Feel free to jump on me. That's absolutely fine. Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to throw you guys off in Kansas City for sure. I think that the Raiders are going to represent the AFC.
Oh?
I saw what I said. Yeah. I think the Raiders are going to represent the AFC.
I'm just happy you didn't say the Chargers.
No, I thought she was going to go Buffalo, but I'll give her credit for that particular take. I'm not even going to call it a hot take, but you know, as we get close to the season, trust and believe, I will be on those spaces to make sure that that our voice is heard. My voice is heard there. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Regarding who?
She's got the Raiders.
That's not really a bad choice. I'm going to go with Kansas City, you know, not because of the bias and all of that. I just think they're going to find ways, as I've been saying, to reinvent themselves on offense, you know, and maybe to the They may need to. You know, I'm not sure about the Clark situation because they could use him. Of course, they could use him, but his situation is in limbo, Darren.
Yeah. I mean, we still don't know how many games he's going to be out yet because they haven't been addressed.
Well, I'll go with the Mahomes factor, and I'm going to go with Kansas City.
Go ahead, Ashley. I know you want to finish your thought on that. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. So nobody saw the Bengals being in a freaking Super Bowl last year. You didn't see that.
Nobody
saw that. And I feel like the Raiders, I don't want to call them, they're my sleeper pick to come out of the AFC for sure.
Ashley,
but they're stronger than a sleeper in my mind, though. It's weird.
Yeah, Ashley, I'm sorry. My producer, we're under a minute left. Give us your quick NFC representative and also where people can reach you on social media.
Sure. I think that the Rams make it back. I think the Rams make it back.
You say the Cowboys. Yep. Okay.
No. Heck no. I think that the Rams will make it back. And everybody can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram, AshleyBaker_21. And also on Facebook is Ashley Baker.
All right, Ashley, thank you so very much. Look forward to your next. If you have one tonight, I'm going to jump on it. Mike, thank you as always. We'll do this again next week.
Bye, buddy. Take care, guys.
And thanks again to Jeff Tadea and Coach Trina, Trine out of Tyler, Texas, and Ashley Baker as well. We'll be back next Sunday. The Ship with Darren Smith here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are out of here.